Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome to our learning at Sha'arei this evening. We are learning Li'ilui Nishmasa and the Zecher Nishmasa, Miriam Fron, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah HaShalom. May her Shama have a continuous aliyah in the merit of the Torah learning that we will share this evening together. And we thank her family. I thank them on behalf of all of us for their commitment to ensuring that the Shir continues and their extreme dedication to the degree of Herbatza Satora that they perpetuate through this year. We thank them all very, very much, and should be a schus for all of them, for Besoros Tovas, Simchas, in good health, to enjoy Nachas. So we are talking about, last week we had a shir on Losikom, Lositars B'nai Amecha, do not take revenge, do not bear a grudge. We learned a very powerful Sefer HaChinuch, which is that no one can do anything to you or say anything to you if God does not will it to be. So we had an added element of when bad things happen to us on behalf of somebody else. If it's Min HaShemayim, so it's not that I could do, it's Min HaShemayim. I'm not mad at anyone. But if someone else insults me or someone else hurts me, how should I view that? We spoke about that in depth last week. And I mentioned 2 weeks ago, we're going to get to the Medrash. I'm trying to get there. And I hope that Be'ezer Hashem, we will. I plan to get there this evening. The Medrash is sitting right next to me here. But I just want to, I was preparing for a different shir actually. And I came across something in Pirkei Avos that I thought relates beautifully to our shir. So therefore, I'm going to begin in Pirkei Avos. I will not take the whole shir, believing it, I don't plan on it. And then I hope we're going into the Medrash. So I'm quoting from the Sefer Visions of the Fathers by Dr. Abram J. Twersky Zatzal on Pirkei Avos. This week, this Shabbos, we read Perek Dalet of Pirkei Avos, the fourth chapter after Mincha Shabbos afternoon. So we read Perek Dalet of Pirkei Avos begins with Mishnah Aleph. Ben Zoma Omer, Ben Zoma says, Ezehu Chacham, who is a wise man, Halo Meid Mikol Adam. He who learns from every person is a wise man. Shenemar, like the Pasuk says, Mikol Melamdei, he's Kalti, from all my teachers, I grew wise. You're wise if you learn from everyone. Ezehu Gibor, who is a courageous person. Hakoveshus Yitzro, one who conquers his inclination. Shenema, like the Pasuk says. Tov Erech Apayim Migibor, one who is slow to anger is better than a courageous warrior. Umosha Beruchom Milo Chedir, and one who rules over his spirit is better than someone who conquers a city. Ezehu Ashir, who is a wealthy person. Hasamech Bechalko, someone who is content or fortunate with his lot. Shenema, like the Pasuk says, Yegia Kapecha Kisochal Ashrecha V'Tovlach, when you eat, Yegia Kapecha, I want to make sure I translate this correctly, when you eat of the labor of their hands, you are praiseworthy, Ashrecha, fortunate is for you, V'Tovlach, it is good for you, Ashrecha Ba'olam Hazeh, when you're satisfied with your portion and you eat the labor of your hands, not worrying about what everybody else has in their hand, you appreciate what's in your hand, it'll be ashracha, you'll be fortunate in this world, you'll have a pleasant olam hazeh, when you're pleased with what you have, v'tov lach, and it'll be good for you in the next world, because you'll have a good portion in olam haba. And finally, ezehu mechubad, who is an honorable person, ha-mechabed is abrios, not someone who gets honor, but someone who gives honor to others, he is the most honorable, shenemar, like the pasuk says, he mechabdai achabed, those who honor me, I will honor, uvozai yi, Yi kalu, and those who scorn me shall be degraded. So Ben Zoma here teaches us four different teachings. The first teaching is, who is a wise person who learns from everyone? Who is a courageous person who conquers his evil inclination? Who is a wealthy person who is fortunate with his portion? And finally, who is honorable, one who honors others? I mean, Dr. Abram J. Twersky Zatzal writes in his introduction to this Mishnah, specifically we're going to be talking about Ezehu Chacham Halo Meid Mikol Adam, who is a wise person, he who learns from everyone. But first, he gives an introduction to this Mishnah. Rabbi Dr. Twersky says as follows. How different Torah values are from secular values. If you ask the average person who he considered to be the wisest person in the world, he would probably cite Nobel Prize winners, heads of departments of the great colleges, authors of major works in philosophy or science. These are people who essentially function as dispensers of knowledge to the world. If you were to ask the list the mightiest people in the world, he would probably name those who rule over large populations. He would name rulers who have powerful armies, perhaps the head of corporations who control large segments of industry and can affect the lives and the income of millions of people. If he were to ask the name the wealthiest people in the world, he would refer to the list published annually in Fortune magazine. And if he would be asked to name the most respectable people in the world, he would cite those who received recognition and awards and honorary degrees by prestigious universities. Torah values are much different. The wise person is not the one who dispenses knowledge, but who seeks to acquire knowledge. The mightiest person is not the one who is master over others, but who is master over his own impulses. The wealthy person is not the one who owns the most monetarily, but one who is content with what he has. And the respectable person is not the one who receives honor. It is rather the one who gives honor. What a different world it would be if people abided by Torah values. How much happier we would be if our aspirations were those of this Mishnah, rather than the aspirations that prevail in society. Again, I came across this teaching of Rabbi Dr. Tversky that I'm about to share on Ezu Chacham Halomin Mikal Adam when I was preparing for a totally different shir. But when I read this piece, I thought, wow, this is relevant for our shir, Ashaare Chabura. Let us look a bit, and then after this, we're going to the Medrash. Let us look a bit at the attribute of learning from everyone. The Mishnah says, Ezahu Chacham, who is a wise person, Halomin Mikal Adam, who learns from everyone. Every person includes people who may be far less educated than we are. It doesn't have to be, you know, a normal prize lord to teach you. Cholomin mikol adam means you learn from everyone. In some ways, there are things we can learn even from wrongdoers. The Maggid of Meserich would say there are things you can learn from a thief, from a ganef. What could he possibly learn from a thief? For example, a thief does his work at night when no one can see him. Today, times in the Maggid of Meserich, people at least had some bashfulness. They were still embarrassed to be a thief. Today, Rahman al-Islan, nobody cares who sees them. Everyone does whatever they want. However, let's say a thief does his work at night when no one can see him. We can learn from that to conceal the degree. We should also be tsanua. The thief is tsanua. You can learn tsanias from a thief, said the Maggid of Meserich. You should learn to conceal the degree of learning. You should learn to conceal your tzedakah. You should learn to conceal your intense service of God. Don't seek to impress others with your piety. The thief does his work in quiet. He doesn't seek to impress people with his job. You should do your avodas Hashem, your job in quiet. You don't need to seek to impress people. Or just the thief will try and try again if he does not succeed at his first attempt. So too, if we initially fail at something, reminds me of Rabbi Akiva, Masechus Yevamah 62b, if you initially fail at something, try and try again. The Maggid also said there are three things that a person can learn from an infant. You look at an infant and you think, what do I have to learn from an infant? I have to teach the infant everything. He has nothing to teach me. What do we learn from an infant? One, never be idle. Two, always smile. And three, when you want something, cry for it. Meaning, when we want something through Ribbono Shel Olam, we should pray to God and accompany our pleas with tears. Some people have a problem, says Rabbi Dr. Tversky, in accepting teaching from anyone inferior to them. They see this as demeaning. There are invariably people with a fragile ego, who fear this would mean, if I learn from someone else, that other person is superior to me. People with a healthy ego are the ones who can learn from everyone. And he spoke so much about self-esteem. That was one of Rabbi Dr. Tversky's main themes, really. A person with healthy self-esteem will learn from everybody. He doesn't feel threatened by your knowledge. As I told you earlier, he writes it in the Sefer, so it must have been somewhere earlier in the first three prakim of Pirkei Avos, he quoted this. As I told you earlier, when I was several months into my psychiatric training, a relative called me and asked me to refer her to someone who could help her with depression. Several days later, an internationally acclaimed psychiatrist called to consult with me. And I said, you have the wrong impression. An internationally acclaimed psychiatrist called to confer with Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Tversky, and he was only in his training. So I said to him, oh yes, you have the wrong impression. I'm not a psychiatrist. I've just begun my training. All I know about depression is what I'm learning and reading from your book. Yes, said the internationally acclaimed psychiatrist, I know depression very well, but you know the patient, relative, better than I do. You can help me decide on the most effective treatment regimen. When my instructor heard that this professor called me for consultation, my instructor said, the only person who would call a first-year resident for advice is the man who wrote the book. He doesn't feel threatened that doing so would hurt his reputation. So, Ezahu Chacham Halomid Mikal Adam, we should never be afraid to consult with those greater than us, and we should never be afraid to consult with those who know less than us. Everyone has something to teach us. This is not yet why I'm bringing this to the Share Shir. It's for the end of the teaching. I have gathered much valuable knowledge, says Rabbi Dr. Tversky, from my alcoholic patients. These are people who suppress their anxiety with alcohol. When they stop drinking, they have to find an alternative way of alleviating their stress. Every recovering alcoholic can provide us with coping techniques for stress, and this can be helpful for everyone. Here we go. This is why I brought this to you. For example, one recovering alcoholic said to me, I'm a football fan. I would never miss watching my team play. One week I had to leave town. So this is in the days, this is of the days of VCR. Remember those from when I was a kid? One week I had to leave town. And I asked a friend to record the game for me on videotape. He recorded it for me. When he later gave me the tape, he said, oh, and by the way, the Jets won. My team was the Jets, said this recovering alcoholic. So I started watching the game on video, he says to Rabbi Dr. Tversky, and my team was losing very badly. At halftime, they were 20 points behind. At other times, I would have been very upset. But this time, I was perfectly calm. I knew the outcome. I knew it was for the good. I knew they were going to win. The man said, ever since I turned my life over to God, I no longer get upset when things go badly for me, because I know that even if I am 20 points behind at halftime, in my life, things will ultimately turn out for the good. Comments are by Dr. Tversky. I learned something very valuable from this man. I thought it was a beautiful teaching, specifically related to our class, because sometimes when things are going badly, when we're losing at halftime, it's definitely not going the way you planned your life. Hashem knows the end. Hashem knows there's a win. Hashem knows it's for the good. If I could keep my mind on the fact that the ending is good, I just don't see it yet. The man didn't see the end of the video yet, but it was for the good. I could keep my mind and my emotion on the fact that I don't get so worked up. I'm giving Michal Haaretz Musar. Believe me, I'm giving myself Musar. I could not get so worked up because I know that the end is good because Hashem knows the end. So I don't need to be so panicked. And it helps us remain calm. Rabbi Dr. Tversky said, I learned very much from this man. Ezehu Chacham Halo made me call Adam. Okay, so someone, can I say your name? I don't know why it was direct message. I'm going to say who out loud. So Shani Gorelitz, I hope it's okay that I said that, said to be tzanu with your affluence. So Shani, are you aware that that's a very powerful kliyakar and a sefer devarim? Which I wasn't planning to say, but since you commented on that, and we're talking about being quiet or tzanu, learning from a thief, Ezu Chacham, Halo Mikol Adam, it's Kedai, since you brought it up, to prove to you that your words are MS, and it's a Kliyakar. 1 second. Susan, you're smiling. Why are you smiling? It's nice to see you smiling, Baruch Hashem. Okay, I think it's Perek Beis Pasuk Gimel. It is. Okay. And Sefer Devarim, Perek Beis Pasuk Gimel. Let me just see something. I just have to find where it is. Here we go, I found it. It's not in the beginning of the Kliyakar. Okay. I'm going to put it on the screen for you so you could all see it. It's a good thing I said before Bali Nader, we're going to the Mandrash. Hashem. look, I'm in Sefaria and Devarim. Isn't that amazing? That's where I need to be. Perek Beis Pasuk Gimel. Okay. Sefer Devarim is Moshe's recap of the Torah, Mishnah Torah, the Tochacha. Moshe's Tochacha. Kisavo. I'm going to put you up here so you could see the Kliyakar with me. So he's talking about their journeys. Sefer Devarim is called Mishnah Torah, the review of Torah. Vayomer Sham Eli Veimar, Perek Beis Pasuk Beis. Okay. Rav Lachem Sov Esahar Hazeh, Penu Lachem Tzvona. Enough with circling this mountain, turn to the north. And to the nation, command them, you're passing by the border of your brothers, the children of Esav, who live in Seir. Okay. You be very careful. Don't antagonize them. Okay. Because I gave Esav Har Seir as an inheritance. Fine. Okay, let's look at this pasuk. Rav lechem sov esahar hazeh penu lechem tzafona. Turn to the north. Keep in mind that tzafun also means on the Leil HaSeder, when we hide, I just gave you the answer, the afikomen, tzafun. What is tzafun? It's not only north, it's also hidden. You put away the afikomen, you hide the afikomen for dessert, so to speak. Zechar alo krabon pesach, nebech, what is zechar? Halavai beis hamikdash should be rebuilt, and we should not have to have that paltry piece of matzah. We should really have the dessert of the Pesach Seder. Anyway, Tzafun means north, and Tzafun also means hidden. Tzadi pe nun. Okay? Let's find the Kliyakar. Here we go. Here's the Kliyakar. Okay. I'm skipping the beginning of the Kliyakar because I just want to touch upon the point that Shani brought up I actually have my Miklas Gadolos here, but I want you to all see the Kli Yakar as well. So when we're talking about Ezu Chacham Alo Min Mikol Adam, someone who is wise, who learns from everyone, so Rabbi Dr. Tversky spoke about learning from recovering alcoholics, and specifically, if you know the end of the picture is good, you're not going to be panicked. You're not going to feel nervous that your team is losing. That's how we should feel in life. If we feel we're losing at halftime because things are not going the way I planned, don't panic. Hashem knows this is for the good. The ending is going to be good. It's okay. That's really why I brought this to you. But since we quoted the Maggid of Meserich, who says, excuse me, you learn from a thief, you learn from a baby. So we should learn from the thief to beat Tzanua. I gave a few examples. And Shani said, you should learn to beat Tzanua with your wealth. This is a Kli Yakar. Okay. So Perek Beis Pasuk Gimel in the book of Devarim. Penu lachem tzafona, turn to the north, can be a play in words, turn to be hidden. Penu lachem, turn for yourself, tzafona, be hidden. Says the Kli Yakar, could you see my screen? I forgot to ask you. Yes? Ve'inyan hatzafona, zeh, this matter of tzafona, nearly appears to me, she'im yimtza ha'ish ha'yisraeli begalus, that if this man, this Israeli man, finds in Galus, in exile, that he begins to be matzliach, he begins to be a little bit successful. Zayir is small, so he starts to be, he finds it in Galus, he starts to be a little bit successful. Az yatmim, yat, I want to make sure I have the kudos. Yat minu, the yatspinu hakol bifnei Esav. Who? He should conceal and hide everything before Esav. In other words, in Galus, you're living amongst the Bnei Esav. And if you start to be a little bit successful, and he's talking about financially, monetarily, like Shani said, you should be tzanua with your wealth. You should hide everything, hatmana. You should tzafun. You should put everything away. Hakol b'fnei Esav. Ki ein lecha uma shemiskaneis b'Yisrael kamo Esav. And we're in Galus Esav right now, okay? Galus Romi is Edom, is Galus Esav. Because there is no nation who is as jealous as Israel like Esav. Ki the da'atam hakol Gizola biadam, because according to their opinion, the Bnei Esav, whose exile we are in, every success that every Jew ever has, ever, is all stolen. It's all stolen in our hands. Mayhem, from them, from the Bnei Esav, min habirkas Yaakov Avinu. Why? Because what happens in Parshas Toldos? Yaakov vayi kizak in Yitzchak, v'tekahene inam mir'os, perch of Zayin, and he can't see, and he calls his son Gadol, the Bechor, Esav, go hunting, bring me meat, bavur tevrecha nafshi lefnei mosi, Rivka over here, she says to Yaakov, you're getting the bracha, put on his hairy clothing, alaik halascha b'ni, sneak in, mami harita levo, yam b'ni came so fast, oh, I don't know, it's me, Esav, Bechor, he gets the brachos. Esav comes home, and he's furious. You don't have one bracha for me? Yitzhak tza'aku gadola umara. He cries a great and bitter cry. Vayisman Esav b'liwa al habrachos. And Esav hates his brother. He harbors a hatred. And he says, when my father dies, I'm going to kill Yaakov achi. Aharga. Yikruvu yimei evel avi. Aharga as Yaakov achi. From that moment, Bnei Esav, we're in the galus of Bnei Esav. Edom, Romi. They see everything as stolen from that pivotal moment of the brachos. Shalakov berchatav shal Esav b'mirma. That Yaakov, they see that Yaakov took the blessings from Esav with trickery, with deceit. V'kein Yaakov tziva levanov. And Yaakov commands his own sons, the Shvatim, the 10 brothers, when they're going down to get food, shever, shamati ki shever b'mitzrayim. When they go down to get food from, they don't know it's Yosef the viceroy, he tells them, why do you pride yourselves? Don't make yourself so conspicuous. Is that the inconspicuous is not noticeable. Don't make yourself so conspicuous. V'kein Yaakov tziva levanov. Yaakov himself commanded his own sons, lama titra'u, why do you make yourself so out in the open? Don't be so obvious when you go down. It's 10 strapping Bnei Yaakov to get food. Don't look like you still have money. Don't look like you still have food. Don't be so in their face. Peirush Rashi, Rashi says, Bifnei Bnei Yishma Ve'esav, Ki ilu atem sveim, Ki shneim suvurim, She Yitzchak gazal hatzlachas Yishmael. Don't make yourself, Yaakov said to his children, Rashi says that they still had food in Canaan, Yaakov and his family. Everyone else ran out of food in the time of the famine. So he said to his sons, you should go down and get food. Don't make yourself so in their face. Don't make yourself so conspicuous. Before, says Rashi, the Bnei Yishma'an, the Bnei Esav, the Ishmaelites and the Bnei Esav. Like you're satiated. Don't make it out like you have food when they're starving. Ki shnehem sovrim sheyitzcha gazal hatzachas Yishmael. The Yaakov gazal tzachas Esav al yedei hishtadas. They are sure the Bnei Esav believe Yitzchak stole. The Bnei Yishmael believe Yitzchak stole everything from Yishmael. Garesh ha'amazos v'aspina kilo yurashchim gani bin Yitzchak. The Bnei Yishmael are sure that Yitzchak stole everything, and the Bnei Esav are sure that the Bnei Yaakov stole everything. Al kein siva davka. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu specifically commands him. Remember, I quoted Pasuk Dalet. I said a paraphrase, but Moshe says, "Pnu lachem tzafona, turn to the north," and to the nation he commands. I read this pasuk before we started the Kliyakar, saying, "You're passing by the border of your brothers Bnei Esav." So the Kliyakar says, "Therefore, tziva dafka al Esav pnu lachem tzafona." Therefore, when they're about to pass through and around the border of Esav, Moshe says, "Pnu lachem tzafona. You don't need to flaunt what you have. Shelo yiskane bachem. They shouldn't be so jealous of you." So if you think it was powerful till now, wait. V'zeh hefach mima sheYisrael osin bedoros halalu ba'artzos oyveihem. This is the opposite of what the Bnei Yisrael do in these generations in the lands of our enemy. We're in foreign lands. This is not our land. Scary fact of history, then when we start to think it's our land, the Ummah Sa'olam come around and they remind us when we get too comfortable. We're not on our land. Furthermore, we're in Galus Romi. Esav was named Edom in the beginning of Parashas Tolos, Perachav Hei. He's red, he's hairy. He comes home and he says, end of Perachav Hei, Halitainin Amin, Ha'adom, Ha'adom Ezeki, Ayef Anochi, pour me some of that red stuff, lentil soup, I'm hungry. Al Kain Karashimo Edom. Edom, Rome, Esav destroyed the second temple. We're still not Galus. Penulachem tzafona, Perek Beis Pasuk Gimel, because Perek Beis Pasuk Dalet, Devarim, you're going to the border of your brother Esav, who dwell in Seir. Al tisgarubam, don't antagonize them. Ki lo etein nechem artzom, God says, I'm not going to give you their land. Wherever your footsteps, it's not your land. It's a Yerusha for Esav. So the Kliyakar says, it's daf gawai. The Bnei Esav think every Jew's success is stolen. Back to Parshas Toldos. And the Bnei Yishmael, oh boy, do they think we stole from them. To this day, they think we stole from them. In my shir that I just came from, we quoted the first Rashi on Chumash. The Ummah Sa'olam will say, listim atem, shekavashtem es artzos, the Bnei Kanani, you captured the land of Kananim. They still think we stole from them. It's Tavshim Pei Aleph. It's 2021. They still say we stole the Bnei Yishmael. And they believe that everything we have is stolen from Yitzchak. Yitzchak stole from Yishmael. Yaakov stole from Esav. Don't make yourself so conspicuous. Hide. No one needs to know what you have. And then the Kliyakar gives us some Musar. Excuse me. V'zah hafach mimash Yisrael osin b'doros halalu. It's bolded on my screen for you. When I highlight, can you see that I highlight something? Yes, okay. V'zah hafach mimash Yisrael osin b'doros halalu ba'artos evem. And this is the opposite way of how the Israelites, the Jews, live in these generations. So what will we say today, 500 years later? 400 years later? In these generations, in the lands of their enemies. Ki mi sheyesh lo manahu maro es atzmo b'malbushei kavod ubatim sefunim v'choshvim ki ilu hayo kama alafim. Someone who all of a sudden acquires just a little bit of money. A mana is not a large denomination. Ki mi she, remember he started off by saying, she'im yimtza ha'ish yisrael b'galus ha'chalaza ezo tzacha ze'ir sham. If you find in God, you start to be a little bit successful. Okay, Aleph Zaira is a small Aleph, say for Vayikra. Zaira is small. You start to get a little bit of success. So what happens today in our generations? Ki mi sheyesh lo mana, someone who has a mana, which is not a big amount of money, mara et atzmo, he makes himself appear, b'malbushe kavod, in clothing of glory, clothing of honor, ubatim sefunim. I'm not sure what the word sefunim means, but we understand what he's saying. I don't know if anyone knows, you could post it on the chat. Samech pei vav nun yod mem sofis. I don't know exactly what the word means, But we understand what he's saying. And they live in these opulent houses, v'chashuvim, and important, they make themselves out, ki'ilu hayo kamo alafim, as if, oh, someone knows what it means. No, it doesn't have the same shorosh as tsafun. It's with a samech. Tsafun is with a... Oh, boats? Interesting. Maybe. Okay, maybe. Whoops. How do I close the chat? That might be it. One second. I don't know. But the point is that he's saying we could all understand what he's saying clearly, okay? That when we have a little bit of wealth, we make ourselves out to be with fancy clothing and opulent houses. We make ourselves to be so important. Ki'ilu hayo kama alafim, as if I had thousands and thousands. Umagarim ha'umos ba'atzmam. And we goad. Look, Moshe says, al tis garubam. We do the opposite. Umegarim ha'umos ba'atzmam. And we bring pain. It's like a thorn in their side. Ve'ovrim amashenamar p'nulacham tzafona. And we are over, we transgress what Moshe Rabbeinu said, turn to remain hidden. So Shani, I don't know if you, when you private messaged me on the chat, the Zoom, if you knew where this was going to lead, but it's a very true insight. Shani had originally said, based on Rabbi Dr. Tversky, you should be tznius with your wealth. And this minhag, not a good minhag, I've heard Rabbi Zavlev say that minhag, if you scramble the letters, that minhag, if you scramble the letters, look at the word minhag, it spells Gehenim. This is a good example of that. This is an example of a minhag that leads to Gehenim. Gehenim is translated as purgatory or hell, okay? If the minhag is not a good one, says Rabbi Zavlev, if it's a bad custom, then it brings Gehenim. Uminhag zeh, so he's not talking about a positive minhag, the Kliyakar. Uminhag zeh birabas b'nei amenu. Vayilanu kichatanu. And this minhag is in the majority of our people. V'hu ha-misabib eskol ha-tila'a asher mitzasanu. And this is the reason. Tila is weariness. Le'a means weary. Like our foremother Le'a, it means tired. It means exhausted. V'yinalu mitzrayim. V'yilu mitzrayim l'shtos ma'im in ma'ar perg zayin. Sefer Shmos. Makas dam. Means the Egyptians were weary, they were exhausted from trying to find water in the river. The Kliyakar says, Minhag, says Rabbi Zavlev, spells Gehenim, if it's not a proper Minhag. Minhag zehu birabas b'nei aminu, not only is it prevalent amongst the majority of our people, v'hu ha-misabeb eskol ha-tila'a, from the word siba, v'hu ha-misabeb, from the word siba, it is the reason for all of the weariness, all of the affliction, all of the exhaustion, all of the tiredness, Asher Mitzasanu, that we have found. V'hamaskilim yavinu likach masar. And those who have any degree of seichel, wisdom, smart, anyone who has any bit of seichel will understand this and will take masar from this teaching. Pnu lachem tzafona, turn to the north and to the nation. He said, you're going by the borders of your brother Esav. Don't antagonize them. Be very careful. The Kliyakar says, Taka, how tznius you should be when it comes to your wealth. So we still don't know what sifun means, dex, but the point of the Kliyakar is well understood. One second, I just want to see if I can find something quickly to relate to this from the Robertson Kanievsky biography. If it takes me too long, I'm not going to read it. I'm coming right back. One second, one of their grandchildren got married. I found it. First of all, the Robertson Kanievsky biography. Now, I know we're talking about Gedolei Torah, Gedolei Olam, the Gedolei Hadar, who held up the world with their Torah. However, it's something that we have to understand what level we might be on today, but where we are aspiring to be. By the way, it relates to the Mishnah, Ezu Asher Samech B'chelko. An usher is not someone who has thousands and thousands and lives in a showy house and wears fancy clothing and flaunts before the Bnei Esav. The usher is someone who's just content with his lot. So we start on the Mishnah of Ezu Chacham Alomid Mika'adam, a wise person learns from every man, including learning from a thief. But the reality is that the Kliyakra we just learned relates very much to the end of the Mishnah, which is to be Besimcha, is to be Sameach Bechelkov. The Kanievsky's simple house contains no luxuries. I'm not saying, okay, you see my background, I'm not saying, not that it's so fancy, but yes, I have silver for my candlesticks. Where are they? Some are there, they're right behind me. And my parents gave my husband a silver menorah case, not menorah, because Esther case when we got married. So I'm not saying we should live in shmatas, and that's not the point. And don't leave here and think that. But before the Bnei Esav and before the Bnei Yishmael, the Kliyakra says, Pnu lechem tzofona, you should not be flaunting what you have. It's very dangerous. They are already jealous, and every success that we have, they think it came from them. And it is the cause of all of our travails in exile. It's a direct quote. You saw it on my screen. And whoever has seichel will understand this and take musar. The Kanievsky simple home contains no luxuries, no pictures or flowers, no break fronts or silver. A rickety table surrounded by mismatched resin and folding chairs constitutes the, quote, dining area. Rav Chaim and the Rebbetzin always referred to their dining room as the Cheder HaSfarim, and it is the most important room in the Kanievsky home. Sfarim are on neatly organized shelves. A ladder is used to reach those on higher shelves. This is the dining room. Every sefer has its place. Rav Chaim is very particular about returning each shlita to its designated spot to avoid bittul Torah of searching for it later. Only sfarim belong on these shelves. He immediately removes any other objects. The Rebbetzin used to constantly check the sfarim room to make sure no foreign objects were ever placed on the sfarim shelves. The few silver items they have are stored with the Pesach dishes and are used once a year on Seder night. The only noticeable item of value is the silver Hanukkah menorah that was given to Rav Chaim as a wedding gift by Rav Aryeh Levine. Zatzal. Who is Rav Aryeh Levine? The Rebbetzin's grandfather. The Rebbetzin, Allah Hashalom, father's Rav Eliyashiv. Rav Eliyashiv's Rebbetzin, Rabbi Shena, Rebbetzin Shena, I believe, Eliyashiv was a daughter of the Tzaddik of Jerusalem of Aryeh Levine. So the only thing of value is a silver menorah given to Rav Chaim as a wedding gift by Rav Aryeh Levine. One more thing I wanted to quote for you. On Chol Hamoed Pesach and Sukkos, Rav Chaim and the Rebbetzin tried to visit their newly married grandchildren in their homes after Rav Chaim finished his daily Seder of learning. After a short time spent on greetings and pleasantries, they would discuss halacha, such as Hilchos Mezuzah and Hilchos Yom Tov. Rav Chaim and the Rebbetzin rarely lectured their children or their grandchildren. One grandchild, however, if you have this book, I'm sure many of you have it, that was on page 170, this is on page 179. One grandchild, however, recalls, when we were newly married, we had a curio cabinet with silver miniatures in the dining room, but we had not yet put up a bookcase for Sfarim. This bothered Saba. As he was leaving, he pulled me to the side, and with a twinkle in his eye, he benched me. I should be zocha to remove the shmatas and replace them instead with sfarim. Okay, I could bring you more examples from her. She gave away her new linens to a neighbor who needed them because she said the neighbor slept 8 hours a night. We only sleep 3 hours a night, so we don't need the linens. So I understand that none of us are on this level. I'm talking about the Gedolei Torah and the Gedolei Olam, but we can learn something. And those who are maskilim will take musar and will learn how to live in a more tzanua fashion when we are in the land of our enemies. And we are in the land of our enemies. Very, very powerful. Okay, I'm going to have to switch topics now and themes. That was all not planned. So we'll talk about the Medrash that I'm trying to get to for the last 10 minutes of Shir. If I had more planned on this topic, I would share more to keep it one theme, one cohesive theme. But the problem is I don't. Well, I could finish the Mishnah, since we're on the Mishnah. I wasn't planning to say this either, but Rabbi Dr. Tversky finishes it beautifully. Do you want to hear the end of his Pshat on the Mishnah? Yes, no, maybe. Why not? It's Torah. That could be bad. Rabbi Torah, he vitzarich ani lomod. There is another teaching. It's quoted in the Mishnah in Tamid 32a. Okay, Tamid, Lamed Beis Aleph. The Mishnah is another teaching. Ezehu Chacham, who knows what it is, who is a wise man. What's that Mishnah over there? Haroas Hanolad, one who sees the outcome of his actions. It should say who is a prophet, one who sees the outcome of his actions. But a wise man can foresee the outcomes of actions. So what you do, what you say, how you act is going to lead to something. There's a cause and effect. A wise man can see the effect of his action. 1 second. I want to see what the comment says. Oh, the Alkali Dictionary says, Safun, Samich Pe Vav Nun, that word that we didn't know from the Yakar, is covered, roofed ceilings. Okay? And it brings a proof from Chagai Perak Al Pasuk Dalet. Is it time for you to dwell in your sealed houses while the house of God lies in waste? So it is describing the opulence of the home, and perhaps they had high ceilings. Okay, very nice. Thank you very much, Chana Wasserman. It makes sense because he was talking about the houses. Batim Sufunim, high ceiling houses. So perhaps that represented some kind of opulence hundreds of years ago. Okay, thank you very much. So there's another teaching in the Mishnah and Talmud here in Pirkei Avos, Perek Dalet Mishnah, we're told Ezehu Chacham, which is the Mishnah that we started to speak about this evening, who is a wise man, Halo Min Mikol Adam, who learns from every person. But there's another question of Chazal. The Mishnah is quoted on Tamid 32a, Ezehu Chacham, who is a wise man, Haroa es hanola, known as from the word to give birth. So he who sees what will come from his actions. You do something, you say something, it's going to lead to actions. It's going to lead to a reaction. It's going to lead to an outcome. If you could only foresee the outcome of your actions, you would be a wise man. I think it's one of the most challenging things to know the outcome of your actions. Of course, you consult with Das Torah, you do your status, but who really knows the outcome of their actions? Sometimes you think you did everything right and the outcome of your action is totally not what you expected. But anyway, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi says, I'm quoting from Rabbi Dr. Twersky, who is a wise man? Okay, I think it's just more appropriate to finish up the Mishnah based on Rabbi Dr. Twersky than to start a whole new topic tonight. And I'm definitely not going to be able to finish the Medrash tonight since we started in this Mishnah, specifically, Ezu Chacham Alo Min Mikol Adam. Let's stay on this topic. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi says, who is a wise man? One who can foresee the future. If we analyze carefully, we will see that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi and Ben Zoma do not disagree. And it was very nice when I learned this because I always thought they were two different teachings. Okay? Ezu Chacham Alo Mimikol Adam, wise man is someone who learns from everyone, is a totally different teaching than a wise man is someone who can see the outcome of his actions. But Rabbi Dr. Twersky is going to show that they are actually connected very nicely. The teaching of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, who is a wise man who sees the outcome of his actions, is actually intricately connected to who is a wise man, says Ben Zoma, who learns from everyone. Here we go. I must again, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky, refer to my work in treating alcoholics to help clarify this. Parents of a youngster who is abusing chemicals, Rahman al-Islam, or that someone wrote here that Rabbi Twersky was a visionary, Nancy, he was totally a visionary. He was unbelievable. He was a roa sonola. Parents of a youngster who is abusing chemicals or the spouse of an addicted person often consult with me, stating the child or the spouse refuses to recognize the problem, Rahman al-Islam, Rahim al-Islam, and refuses to seek help. What can they do? I advise them to join a support group of family members so the afflicted person, the sick person, it's an illness, will not get help. So what should they do? I advise them, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky, to join a support group of people of similar problems with a child or spouse. They can learn much from the experience of others. Ezu Chacham, Halo Meid, Mikol Adam. That's when Ben Zoma says in Pirkei Avos. The course of these conditions are quite similar, even amongst diverse people. So as different as you might be, if everyone is working on the same nisayon with a family member, God forbid, you can gain from each other. By listening to the experience of others who have dealt with the problem, they can learn what to expect. If you listen to someone else and learn guidance from them and what they dealt with, you can learn what to expect. And then you learn how to act towards the person in a way that is conducive to recovery. Paula Spodek after a Monday shiur. So it's really English words. So I'm not so into I'm switching around English words to get lessons because it's English. It's not Lashon HaKodesh. If minhag is gehenem, then minhag, a bad minhag, is gehenem. Okay? but it doesn't really work in English, but I just thought it's interesting. I just read that Rabbi Dr. Twersky said you should listen to the experience of others. So after a Monday morning share, Paul Spodek reached out to me and said, in order to listen, you need to be silent. And I like that very much. It's the same letter. Silent and listen are the same letters. If you really want to be a good listener, stop talking. Be silent and really absorb what that person is saying. I thought it was very nice, even though it's English and there's not always so much weight to the lessons, but it's interesting that listen and silence are the same list. Rabbi Dr. Twersky said, if the sick person won't go for therapy, you should go listen and you will be helped. Sometimes people reject my advice, he says, and insist they can accept guidance only from a professional counselor. They don't want to go to a support group. While this may be very helpful, it's not as effective as the experience of those who have been there. Now let's go back to the words, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky, of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Ezehu Chacham Haroa Esondolad, who is a wise person, he who sees the outcome of his actions. Just what does he mean? A wise man is someone who can foresee the future. Wise men are not prophets. I said it before, it should be Ezehu Navi Haroa Esondolad. The phrase to foresee the future uses the word nolad, like when a woman gives birth, laholid ben, to give birth. Which, while meaning that which will come to be, can also mean that which came to be, i.e. can refer both to the past as well as to the future. Ezu chacham haro es hanolad can mean someone who sees what will be and someone who sees what came to be, meaning it refers to the past, what was, as well as to the future. Indeed, if we have a clear knowledge of the past, we can often predict the future quite accurately. If you have experience in the past and dealing with this kind of problem, you can predict the future. It has been correctly said, insanity consists of doing the same thing and expecting different results. If we can find out what kind of action produced certain results, we are in the position to know how to achieve the results and how to avoid undesirable results. We can learn this better from people who have gone through similar experiences than from a professional counselor. Even though they may be more educated, they lack particular experience. I'll tell you, my schooling is, I have a bachelor's and a master's degree in speech and hearing, bachelor's of science and a master's in hearing, master of science. I was very good. My professors were not happy that Michelle Hartz did not go to work, but my children came and different challenges, etc. And it just wasn't the right thing for me. And it's not what Hashem had planned. Remember, Hashem knows the last 20 minutes of the game, so don't panic if it's not going your way. There's a good outcome. So Baruch Hashem, very good outcome, Torah. My point is that in the master's program, in the graduate program, one of the courses that we took was oral rehab, not O-R-A-L, A-U-R-A-L. A-U-R-A-L is oral is hearing. And we had to give classes counseling and oral rehabilitation. So you were counseling people, tools and tips, self-confidence, realistic expectations, people with hearing loss, counseling. So I have to tell you, I was very good at that. And they really related to what I was telling them. And they didn't look at me as a professional. I was good at the whole program. Okay, my professors were unhappy. But specifically in counseling for people with hearing loss, tools, techniques, tips for effective communication, how to fill in the blanks, how to speak up for yourself, how to be confident, how not to be ashamed. They didn't see me as a professional lecturing them. It was someone who had personal experience who could relate to Rabbi Dr. Abraham Day Twersky saying is exactly correct. You might only want to go to a professional, but someone who's been in that situation, even if they're a lay person, can give you much better advice. They know what will be. They know Ezehu Chacham Haro Esonolan because they've been there. They're 20 years ahead in that Nisayon. You're just starting. Go to those people. In this case, the person who is willing to learn from everyone will be the person who sees the outcome of the actions. That's how Ben Zoma is connected to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Ben Zoma says, Ezehu Chacham Halo Min Mikol Adam. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi says, Ezehu Chacham Haroa Sanolat. If you're someone who is willing to learn from everyone, you don't only need professionals, you don't only need the Nobel Prize laureates, you don't only need Albert Einstein to teach you, you're willing to learn from everyone, especially people of past experience in a certain issue. If you're willing to learn from people who have experience with an issue you're dealing with, you're struggling with, then you will become, if you're Ezu Chacham Halo Meid Mikol Adam, you will become a Chacham who is Ro'es HaNolad. Being humble enough to learn from everyone, especially people who have past experience that you don't yet have, will make you a wise person will be able to foresee the outcome of her actions. Not always, there's no guarantees, but they will help guide you. And so Ben Zoma's teaching in Pirkei Avos and Rabbi Yehuda Anasi's teaching in the Mishnah and Talmud are actually not two different teachings. They go hand in hand. If you want to have a better advantage over being a Roa as a Nolad, seeing the outcome of your actions, then you should first make yourself into someone who is a wise person, who is willing to learn from everyone. It's a beautiful cheresh. I never saw it before. I was preparing for this, for another shir, when Hashem led me to the first part that I quoted, then I kept reading. In any phase of life, says Rabbi Dr. Tversky, we may learn what to expect from our actions if we allow ourselves to learn from everyone. He has in a beautiful connection, Chana Wasserman, it's a grishma chiddush. How foolish we would be to insist on learning from our own mistakes instead of profiting from the mistakes of others. We will become wiser. The truly wise person does not commit this folly. Ben Zoma says a wise person is one who learns from everyone. Wisdom is a process of continuous learning. One who may have learned much in the past but fails to keep up his learning will lose his wisdom. And the ongoing learning must be with a willingness to learn from everyone, including a thief, including a baby, including Moshe Rabbeinu, including the Kli Yakar, including Yaakov Avinu, including support groups and people who have been there and done that. Because learning from them, Ezu Chacham Halomin Mikol Adam, will help us be the Chacham who is Rola as a Nolad. B'Azor Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam should help us, give us the wisdom to implement these teachings, all of them. Penu lachem tzifona. In all aspects of life, we must be tzanua. We're not in our own lands. They think we stole everything. Don't give more fuel to the fire than there already is. You should just be zocha to the emosa Mashiach and chaya olam haba. I want to dedicate this year once again to the aliyah neshama of Miriam Frohl, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah shalom. Shama should have an aliyah in the source of the Torah we shared. I thank Shani for her unexpected comment, and I thank Hashem to guiding me to this Mishnah as expounded upon by Rabbi Dr. Avraham Z. Tversky. I thank you all for joining our shir this evening. Besuras Tovos, have a meaningful Lag BaOmer, and a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful evening.